léir agus tá fáilte rót go dtíon uair gaile chun ar chinné go seachtainí ar imagine dánach seo tá te an uair mé an chin. Good Sunday morning and welcome to another edition of the Gaelic Hour here on Chin 97.9 FM. It's a bit cold out there, so you can't afford to go out without those warm clothing, and that's a good opportunity for me to mention that we are still accepting donations of gloves, mitts, scarves and socks for the 18th annual dinner, Christmas dinner for those that are less fortunate, that is held down at the Heart and Crown, and that will be on Sunday. And there's also an appeal out there for turkeys and desserts, and if you want to drop those in, you can leave them in at the Heart and Crown 22, 23, 24 during kind of daytime hours. And if you want to drop stuff in here, if you at Chin, you can drop the warm clothing, and that's during regular business hours, 9 a.m. to about 4 p.m. and that's at 30 Murray Street. But I tell you, I'm a little bit scattered this morning because it's been a busy week. I was out at the Cayley last night, but before the Cayley, I was at John McDermott out at Centrepoint, and that was most enjoyable. And we've had a few other things on this week. It's that time of year when we're all busy and a lot going on. But even when things are going on and things do slow down, I will mention that there is still some time if you want to give somebody a Christmas gift of a ticket to the St. Patrick's Home Foundation Lottery. And that the early bird for that will be on January 27th. That's a breakfast out at the Monterey Inn Resort. And we will have the Ottawa Rose pulling the winning ticket for $10,000 at that. And that's a good opportunity for me to mention that the Ottawa Rose, Sarah Thornton, is in studio with me, and I will be talking to Sarah. Sarah went to Ireland on the 8th of August to represent Ottawa as the Ottawa Rose, and the first time we had a Rose, someone wearing the Ottawa sash going to Tralee. And she only got back after spending nearly 4 months in Ireland. She got back last Saturday, so I decided it would be a good opportunity to find out what she did in Ireland for 4 months and what the experience was like. So we're going to hear all about that this morning. But I should fill you in also that the search is on for the 2010 Ottawa Rose, and we will be selecting a young lady on the 14th of March, and that will be held at Library and Archives Canada. We're looking for a young lady between the ages of 18 and 28, and she gets to travel to Ireland in her flight taken care of and her accommodation, everything taken care of when she gets over there. And that will take, excuse me, that's from June 3rd to 7th. So a young lady will win a week in Ireland. And you'll hear as the show goes on that it's really something that is worth looking forward to. Sarah Thornton, welcome to the Gaelic Hour, and welcome back to Ottawa.
Hi.
So you're back after being in Ireland since the 8th of August.
Yes. A little strange being here because so much has happened, I guess, since the last time I was in. So, yeah, so many experiences.
And, of course, when you went over on the 8th of August, that was to participate in the 50th Rose of Tralee. You got over a week before the event, so you had a week to kind of get yourself, literally, I would say, we'll talk about getting your feet wet, but because that's something that happened later on. But you went over on the 8th of August to get your feet wet for the Rose of Tralee. Mm-hmm. The Rose of Tralee itself, the 10 days that you had in Ireland at that time, how would you describe it? If you were to ask, put it into no more than one or two words, what would those one or two words be to start with?
Oh, that's difficult. I'd say just extraordinary, surreal. That basically, oh, it's so hard to describe. It was unbelievable. I didn't know quite what to expect, and when I got there, it exceeded my expectations. It was just the people I met, the experiences I had. It was just, oh, unbelievable.
Okay, now we're going to get specific.
Okay.
Because when you say it was unbelievable, I know you're literally taken over for 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
And in being taken over, you're being taken over to get the opportunity to see Ireland and to experience things most people would never experience in their life. So you get a tour.
Mm-hmm. And we actually have a tour bus as well too, and we're partnered with a girl, my bus buddy as I called her was Rose from Australia, And so they actually, on the windows, it says Ottawa Rose. So when you're traveling through the towns as well, everybody's aware that the roses have arrived. And then we just went. We had met so many different people, saw so many different things. And the welcomes when we arrived in the places were just unbelievable. You felt like a celebrity. You get off the bus, and there were crowds waiting for you and just so excited to see you. Just, it's unbelievable.
And you used the word I was going to ask you about, because you have celebrity status mm-hmm. when you're touring Ireland as a Rose, mm-hmm. and you have people coming up asking for autographs.
Yeah, I had heard that would possibly happen, and then until it actually happened to me, I couldn't believe it. I was like, my autograph, okay. And they'd come up, and they actually had the brochures, and they would have you sign by your picture. And some of the kids even made their own books. Took so, obviously hours to do these, and it's so important to them. And they just stood there, and crowds of them would come up to you, and our lovely escorts had to monitor the crowds around us and everything, and just, it was just unbelievable.
Now, don't mind if I bounce around, and my listeners also, please forgive me if I bounce around, but, excuse me, you mentioned the word escort.
Yes.
So, everybody is assigned an escort mm-hmm. when you arrive, and explain what the role or what an escort's duties are.
Sort of our chaperones, I guess. I had a lovely escort. His name was John Paul Dalton, and he was from Wicklow. And he basically was on my arm the whole time, accompanied us to the balls, to all our different events, made sure that we kept sort of on schedule, because it's very easy to get distracted. And he was great. He had a wonderful sense of humor, and I actually even started an escort report card with him, just keeping track of the good things he did and then the bad things he did. And he just amazing sense of humor, so it went over pretty well. And at the end, I typed that up for him and gave it to him as his gift, and so it was a really good memory.
Now, in getting around Ireland, as you say, you were brought around on a bus, and everything was well scheduled. So you actually got to tour, not just, it wasn't straight from the airport down to Tralee. Mm-hmm. You were around Dublin for a few days, and you got to go to the Dáil mm-hmm. and a variety of other places.
Kilmainham Jail as well, too.
Okay.
Yep. We got a tour of Kilmainham Jail, and then, yeah, we would stop, sometimes we'd stop at ice cream shops just to say hello to people along the way, and Bunratty Castle, and just so many different things. It was hard, and people at the end of the day would ask us, so what'd you all do today? And we'd have to take about 5 minutes to think even what we did, because there was so much packed into a day, and we had so many different little experiences that it was hard to remember all of them, but it was just great.
And I know that you got to stop over in Banlasloe on the way, and of course Banlasloe is very dear to my heart. We'll talk more about Banlasloe as the show goes on. But you saw Banlasloe in August when the sun was shining and it wasn't raining.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
And as we will come back to talk about that after a while. So then you worked your way down to Tralee.
Yes.
And that, of course, is the where all the action is. How did you find that experience? And if for someone who's never been, and for somebody who kind of says, well, what's all this hype about? Mm-hmm. You get to really, what's going on? How are you going to describe that to somebody?
It's really difficult. It's really difficult. It was just, like I said, the reception from the people, I think, was the biggest thing. And there was actually, we had opportunities to walk through the town. And like I said, we were walking through the town and people's faces would light up. And I actually spoke to a woman and her daughter, and they normally leave Tralee. They're actually from Tralee. They normally leave because it's so busy. The town is just insane. And she said to me this year, because of the recession, she said she wanted to stay because it was really important, because there was so much negativity around before the festival, and then that this was just something to look forward to, and so basically brought joy to the town in a time that it was very, needed very much.
Right.
So that was the general sentiment around. It was just, our pictures, all 50 girls were in shops, so everyone kind of knew who you were, and it was just, Oh, it was so lively. Always something going on, and always someone to talk to, and it was just great.
Now, I think we do need to explain. Some of my listeners would know exactly what the Rosa Trulli is, and you've just said there were 50 girls and your pictures were in all the shops. Of course, 2009 was a special year because it was the 50th anniversary of the Rose, and as it being was the 50th, there were 50 roses brought in. All the international centres, so Ottawa was able to have its rose go to Tralee. Unfortunately, in 2010, there's a pre-qualification process. Our rose will have to go to Port Leash, and hopefully she will qualify in Port Leash to go back to Tralee. But for somebody who has no clue what the rose is about, it's for young ladies between 18 and 28. And it focuses on, and it's hard to describe, it focuses on personality, charm, vibrancy, all sorts of things. How would you describe it?
That's exactly it. And actually, most people will say to me first, how is the pageant, or is it a pageant? It's not a pageant feel. It's just, it's very different. You have 50, well, I was with 50 very accomplished ladies. It was completely based on personality. You're basically an ambassador for your city. And what was nice about Ottawa was it was the first time that Ottawa had a center. And most people that I spoke to knew Toronto or Vancouver in Canada. So I was really able to represent Ottawa and explain, you know, the Irish community that we have here and that kind of stuff. So it was more almost like a mini ambassador role for your city and just a chance to talk about your Irish heritage and all the things you're involved in the community. And like I said, so 50 accomplished ladies all bringing something different to it and just great.
Now, we will acknowledge there is a lot of glamour around
yes.
it. There is a lot, and a lot of pageantry, and a lot of celebration.
Mm-hmm.
And that in itself is also pretty unique in the, what you experience in that, between mm-hmm. the Rose Ball and then the two nights when the roses are live on TV. How was your reaction, or what was your experience to something like the Rose Ball?
The Rose Ball, oh. It was just, it was held in the dome, and you don't really understand it until you're actually there yourself. It's just, it's so hard to describe. Luckily I shot some behind the scene footage of it to be able to show people, to give them a visual of it, because I could sit here and explain it, but until you're there, it's just, like I said, surreal is the best word to describe it.
Right.
Absolutely surreal. And there were just stars on the ceiling, and that's sort of what it felt like. You were in a completely sort of, it was a out of body experience, out of world experience. It was just, it was great. And, yeah.
So before we go to a piece of music, which we will, and I'll let you tell us what we're going to hear.
Okay.
You would strongly recommend that any young lady who has an opportunity to get to Ireland to represent Ottawa should be lining up to get their name in on an application form as soon as possible.
Most definitely.
Oh.
Definitely.
Now, piece of music. What are we going to play?
The first song we're going to play is The Craig and White Hair, and it's from my friend Derry Farrell in Ireland. And I met him first on Cape Clear Island, and then I basically go to see his when he plays in Dublin, and I've told him that I am his groupie, so
right.
We have to play his music because he's a very, very talented musician.
And this is track 7, is it?
Craig and White Hair is 6.
Track 6, okay. And we will talk about Cape Clear when we come back. And you are listening to The Gaelic Hour here on Chin 97.9 FM with Austin Camerton. We're talking with Sarah Thornton.
White hair as swift as the swallow that flies through the air. You may tramp the world over, but none to compare to the pride of old Craig and that funny white hair. One clear autumn morning, as you will suppose, the red golden sun o'er the green mountains rose. Barney Conwy came down and he did declare, "For this day I'll put an end to the bonny white hair." He searched through the lowlands and down through the glens, all among the wild ditches where the white hair had ends. Till at last, coming down over the heather so fair, from behind the wild thistle out jumps the white hair. Bang, bang went his guns and his thumbs he slipped to, as swift as the wind o'er the green mountain flew. But his thong soon came back, which made poor Barney sigh, for he knew that the white hair
And Marco, 215 Preston Street, invites you to celebrate the arrival of a brand new year with the band Showtime. You'll enjoy the customary fabulous Salas and Marco New Year's Eve Gala, featuring a seven-course dinner, crostini al salmone, Italian antipasto, pasta, smelts, calamari, giardino salad, filet mignon, and there's also the 50-foot-long midnight suite table and buffet. Reserve now. Call Salas and Marco at 613-238-6063. Bring in 2010 with Showtime at Salas and Marco.
CJLL Q-Radio Ottawa, by popular demand, is proud to present the 2010 Q-Radio Winter Picnic. There's truly something for everyone this next winter at the Chin Winter Picnic, a great all-inclusive vacation in the Mayan Riviera at the Sandos Catacall Beach and Spa Resort, located just 10 minutes from Playa del Carmen at the edge of an exotic jungle. Looking for a classy getaway in a secluded oceanfront paradise? Or a family adventure with kids' activities, sailing, and snorkeling? The 2010 Chin Winter Picnic offers all of this and more, along with six excellent restaurants, nightly shows, and comfortable accommodations beside a great beach. In partnership with Signature Vacations and Sky Service. From February 5th to February 12th, 2009, with a non-stop direct flight from Ottawa to the Mayan Riviera, the vacation of your dreams at a low, low price. Don't delay. Book today with Ports of Call Travel Services at 613-238-2400, extension 230-221 and 222. 613-238-2400, extension 230-221 and 222. 2222. See you there.
Sponsored by Unico, bringing real taste home. Park and Fly Ottawa. Gabriel's Pizza. Aditech Printing and Design.
Welcome to Multicultural Celebration here at Radio Chin 97.9 FM.
Welcome back to the Gaelic Hour, and we're chatting with Sarah Thornton. And Sarah is just back after spending 4 months in Ireland. And we're chatting about her experiences on the Rose of Tralee. Sarah, there's a very much one of the things I mentioned on Friday night at the concert was there's very much a social conscience about the Rose. Mm-hmm. You were saying that some of the aspects involved in that you wanted to talk about.
Oh, well, in particular, it was just how we got, there was an organization, I think it was Make-A-Wish, and it had to do with basically, I think, terminally ill girls who wanted to just spend the day being a rose. And that's, I guess, when it really hit me that how important this is to everyone as well. And we got to be role models to these girls. And it was really important to be sort of aligned with a charity like that. It was just, it was fantastic. And they just had a wonderful time. And it was so nice to see the girls just, you know, go over to the girls who were chosen to do this and welcome them and make them feel so special. And you could just see on their faces how it was fantastic. So that was a really great experience as well.
And I know as well that when you do mention the alignment, you were a little surprised, I think, when you got to Ireland to find that one of the people involved in the festival was involved in Chernobyl, and your mom and you have a special place in your hearts for that also.
My mom is president of the Ottawa Valley Aid for Chernobyl Children, and so she actually got to speak with and I completely forget her name right now, one of the judges.
Something Murphy. No. Don't look at me. That's not my
song. It's going to come to me as soon as we're done talking about it. But anyway, so my mom did get to speak with her and has corresponded with her since then. So it was fantastic to see that cause represented outside of here as well too. And I know that it is a big charity in Ireland. So yeah, that was really nice to see.
And you just mentioned something which is important, and that was that your mom got to speak to her because your mom was with you.
Yes, she was.
Because the Rose is very much a family thing.
Definitely, my mom and my sister were able to come over, they just, I'm really glad that they did, because like I said, like the trouble I'm having describing it to you, I don't even know. So they actually got to see it and got to be part of everything, and you know, my mom says how proud, and it was really nice to have her there.
Now, you spent time in Cape Clear, and the music we just heard was from Jory, who's from Cape Clear. Do you want to talk about that, and do you want to talk about any of those type of experiences?
Well, I think this is, I'd love to have a summer home there. It's just, it's the most beautiful place, and I sort of happened upon it by accident. I was backpacking, and we were part of this Worldwide Workers on Organic Farms program, my friend Kristen and I, and we just ended up working on a goat farm on Cape Clear, and then met this lovely woman named Fiona who has a farm on Cape Clear as well. So I go back there every summer. And last summer I worked with the children on the island on a film project. And this summer I actually got to take my mom and my sister there as well after the Rose. So they got to see it as well. And it's just, it's sort of my little paradise.
After the Rose, as well, because that ended at towards the end of August, and you then stayed September, October, November, and a bit of December.
Mm-hmm.
What were you doing?
What wasn't I doing? I was, I was volunteering at the Dublin Theatre Festival, which was, I'm involved with Terra Players here as well too, so I thought that would be a good thing to see while I was over there, make some connections and see some of the plays, which was nice. Volunteering, you got to then stay and watch all of the plays. It was fantastic. I sort of landed a little bit of a part on The Tudors, the show The Tudors. And then
elaborate a little on that. just don't gloss over that one.
It's sort of the right place at the right time kind of moment. My mom and sister, when they were traveling around Dublin before they came out to Tralee, were at Christchurch Cathedral. And they saw all these people in period costumes and then discovered that it was The Tudors filming there. So we were just speaking about it to someone, and they said, oh, yeah, they're always looking for extras on The Tudors. And I found out that the studio is located right behind the house I was living in Bray. So I went down there, filled out an application, and spoke to the people there. And 15 minutes later, I got a call back to say, would you like to come in for a costume fitting and start work? And I was like, okay, perfect. What am I going to be doing? And they said, well, you're going to be lady-in-waiting to the queen. So the last queen, and it's Catherine Parr. So I'm her lady-in-waiting. So I got to, it's an extra role, but I got to be basically around, or with the royal entourage, I suppose, always around the queen. And my costume was just unbelievable. And the first day I showed up there for my costume fitting, I was so excited, but I tried to act extremely professional, like I had done this many times before.
Okay.
But on the inside, I was screaming, and the costume was just unbelievable. I had my hair and makeup done every day. My hair had two or three hair pieces in it. I had a crown. It was just, the sets were just unbelievable. And I guess my fondest memory of that as well, too, is one day we were on location in a manor in Bray, and we were outside, and it was sunny out, and we were on a sort of dirt road. There was a horse-drawn carriage behind me, the royal entourage, and we had to stay there and wait for King Henry, to ride up on horses with his guards. And I basically had to pinch myself to remember actually that what time period I was actually in. It was unbelievable. So
now, over the course of the period, how many episodes did you get to participate in, do you think?
I'm not sure. All I know is it's the fourth season. I'm not exactly sure too what scenes they're going to choose that I was in or whatever. You know, obviously all the editing that goes into it afterwards. But I know that my mom and I will be sitting there watching and pointing at me in the scenes, but I'm not exactly sure.
The fourth season starts to air. When is it expected to air here?
Here, I'm not sure. I need to find this out. I know in Ireland it's April, and okay. I think we're a bit behind here. My sister knows everything about the Tudors, so she'll be the one that's going to inform me.
So you were, when the Tudors, that season opens here in Ottawa, there's very much a local connection.
Yes.
Right. Now, if I'm not mistaken, and I could be because I don't always pay full attention to you got a part just before you came home in something else, did you?
Oh, right. Well, through my sort of affiliations with the Tudors and the studio there, they called me to do, it's a BBC miniseries called The Silence. And the director, I believe she was the one who just won the Emmy for Little Dorrit.
Okay.
She was directing it. So I got to be in an extra with that as well. And actually in this bathroom scene where I did get to speak to the director or whatever. So I did meet her. And so that was a nice experience as well, too.
No, that was your acting career as it was happening in Ireland. But we also managed to get you some work experience, as I understand it, over there.
Yes. And now I'm going to try to pronounce it. I have to explain that one. I did an internship with the TD, which is what I say now, because what I was saying before was I am doing an internship at the Dáil. And forever, everyone was telling me, where? And I said, the Dáil. And apparently with my accent, it's much more difficult to pronounce Dáil. And according to you, I still have some work to do on that, but
I'm not saying anything.
Something with the I and the L. Anyways, my goal is now to learn Irish and to be able to pronounce that a lot better. So I just resorted to saying I am doing an internship with a TD, and it was.
And again, of course, you need to explain what a TD is.
Oh gosh, I'm gonna try. Is it Chuck the Dala?
You're close. The Stere Gubber Dáil Éireann, the Noel Tracy and Chuck the Dala as Galliab, agus Vishian Chin, Sarah was working for practically 3 months with the TD, which is the Member of Parliament for East Galway, Noel Tracy. And the way we can say Dáil.
That's what I said.
Sarah's telling me that she was being reminded when she was in Ireland that it's not a doll, and it's not a doll, it's a doll, and she's working on that one. So anyway, you got to work in the doll.
I did.
And of course, we have to explain, in your regular job here in Ottawa, is on Parliament Hill.
Yes, I work for the Honourable Wayne Easter at Parliament Hill, who's the agriculture critic for the opposition. So I basically, I wanted to experience what Irish politics was like and what it was like to work for a member of parliament over there.
Right.
And couldn't have been placed in a better office. Deputy Tracy was fantastic, and it was really nice being a visitor. Sort of everyone wanted to know everything about Canada as well, too. So it was almost like a rose experience in Parliament, because I was just representing Ottawa again as well, too, and talking about my experiences at Parliament Hill here as well. So
now, we'll hold off on a little later to get some kind of to talk about what the differences might be and what the similarities might be between the Irish system and the Canadian system. Mm-hmm. But if you were to just share some of the experience of what you were doing, mm-hmm. and where Noel was able, what the exposure you got through working in Noel's office, and what you got to see. Because I know earlier on we mentioned you got to see Ballinasloe in August when it was nice and dry, but I think you probably got to see Ballinasloe, a different side of Ballinasloe, very recently. So you started out and you were working in Noel Tracy's office.
Mm-hmm.
And what's a day in the life of, or what were you doing?
Basically, I was kind of the point was to learn as much as I could. So it was a lot of observing things. I got to go to any committee meetings that I wanted. So if there's something of interest, Noel is also the chair of the Good Friday Agreement Committee. So I got to go to a lot of those meetings and then meet the people. Right before I left, there were delegates from the Tourism Ireland who I got to speak with afterwards as well. So I got to do that. I did filing, which I discovered is a really good thing. I'm never going to knock filing again, being an intern, because it's a great way to learn, because I was going through, you learn the names of the people and sort of the issues of the representations he's making. And I actually got to go to a clinic with Noel, which is basically set up throughout the month at different locations, advertised in the newspaper, like at a hotel. The one I went to was at a hotel, and basically it was his constituents could come in and talk to him, and he'd, you know, then say, this is what we can do from here, and etc. And anyway, and then he took me around Galway, and so any different place we were in, I said, like we were in Loughrea, and I said, are you trying to build a swimming pool here? Because I had remembered it from the filing. And anyways, so I got to do that. And like I said, that's a good way to learn the issues. I actually, I got to sit and in on the budget. I got to see the budget. I got to go to the Taoiseach's ball as well, too. So that was a little privilege there. But just treated with such warmth there as well. And then Noel would sometimes I'd have lunch with Noel, and I'd list questions that I had for him to ask him about something I'd seen that day that I didn't fully understand or whatever, and he'd go through it all with me.
Right.
So it was really like it was just observing how everything works. And from my experience at Parliament Hill here too, it really complements my degree, which is criminology and political science. But to be able to actually be, you know, in the atmosphere or in the environment, of the Parliament is just different.
And as I understand it, did you get to go back down to Ballinasloe last weekend or the weekend before? While the floods were,
yeah, I was there a week after sort of the water. We could actually drive through, but Noel was telling me the week before it was just the water was so high that you couldn't drive through. So I saw the after effects of it.
Right.
I did get to hear some of the cases as well too, and the devastation. But I saw, you know, people's furniture by the road and some businesses that just had the destroyed furniture and everything just piled up outside. So I did see the after effects of it.
And of course, for anyone who is keeping in touch, they will know that there has been serious flooding. in England and Ireland, but in parts of Ireland and I know parts of Cork, and there are other areas along the Shannon and the tributaries of the Shannon that were devastated due to the rain. And I think, as Sarah just said, water was as high as 6-7 feet in places. Mm-hmm. And I know, having seen an aerial photograph of Banlasloe, the church is low-lying in Banlasloe. The Catholic Church is down in St. Michael's Square, and that whole area was flooded. And I think for the first time ever, Mass was celebrated in the Protestant Church in Banlasloe, which is up on a height overlooking what is the Fair Green, which the traditional Banlasloe Fair, which goes back to the 1500s, 1600s, is held every year. So it's strange times, and certainly not what the Irish climate, that while we're all familiar with a wet climate over there, I think what they've seen this year has been way beyond expectations. We're going to take another little piece of music here, and I think, are we heading back down to Cape Clear?
We are. This is another piece by Darian. It's called The Mickey Dam.
And it's track number?
Track number 4.
What's the name of the CD?
It's called The First Turn.
Okay.
The First Turn. And basically, whenever I'm missing Ireland here, I throw it on and it brings me right back. And so we're playing one more song from Derry.
You are listening to the Gaelic Hour here on Chin 97.9 FM. We'll be back with you in a moment.
Inn is your premier choice for an exceptional stay in a resort setting along the Rideau River, close to the airport and a short journey to the nation's capital. The Monterey Inn offers a host of features for the discerning visitor that includes meeting and conference facilities, an outdoor heated pool and a fitness centre. Drop in and enjoy the fine dining experience of La Bodega Lounge. The Monterey Inn at 2259 Prince of Wales Drive, 613-288-3500 or www.monterey.ca.
The little Irish village in the heart of the Byward Market had its humble beginnings in 1992 with the now famous Heart and Crown, a second venue, the Snug Pub, since 1997. And then there's Mother McGinty's and Roisin Dubh, Black Rose. Since 2001, they complete the Irish village, each a treasure in its own way. Visit the Irish village. We can accommodate groups of all sizes, private seating areas, spacious patios, and party rooms. Tell us about your special event and we will take care of the rest. 613-562-0674.
This is Chin Radio, celebrating the many voices and cultures of Canada, 97.9.
And welcome back to the Gaelic Hour here on Chin, and we are chatting with Sarah Thornton. And Sarah has just returned, having spent close on 4 months, over 4 months, in Ireland, and she is the Ottawa Rose. And she spent a number of weeks or months working at Dáil Éireann with Noel Tracy, TD from East Galway. The day in the life of a TD. As you experienced it with Noel, and Noel is a consummate politician.
Yeah, basically, exactly. You don't stop. You don't stop. And it's the same with my the member of parliament I work for here. It's, you know, in early in the morning, out late at night, weekends. You know, it was a joke when I went to with Noel to the clinic. He also goes to funerals all weekend, and it's the joke is how many funerals this weekend, and I was spared from going to them though, and Noel's wife actually took me to Connemara for the day on Sunday, which was great. But I think Noel had to attend something like 4, I think, that day or whatever. So it's just you're constantly working.
Right.
Yeah.
So what type of, when you say he has his clinic and the mm-hmm. constituents come in, mm-hmm. Is it a different, were the issues different that a politician would see here as regards there?
Not necessarily. I actually got to go, and Noel said it was a very good clinic to go to because there's a variety of issues, all kinds of different things that were coming up. And from what I understand in our constituency in Prince Edward Island, similar things. Of course, the flooding, there was some big flooding in Prince Edward Island before that really affected the potato crops as well,
right,
too. So.
Right.
So similar, actually.
Right. And the experience you had when I asked the day in the life, one of the things, and we'll talk about it in a moment, is that the Irish political system is different from the Canadian political system because here we have a federation. So we have a federal government and we have provincial governments, mm-hmm. whereas as such, and then we get down to municipal. Whereas in Ireland, really, you have just a national government that deals with all the kind of things that a lot of the provincial governments deal with.
Mm.
So the TD, or the Member of Parliament, is wearing two hats in our context. He's wearing a provincial and a national hat.
Mm.
How did you see that when I ask a day in the life of a politician in Ireland as against your member of parliament here?
Mm.
Can you see differences from that perspective?
Well, if I'm understanding what you're asking, is basically it's very, very constituent based. So he's always, there was the day when he had a clinic on the weekend, and it was right after the floods, he sent out 160 letters that next day. And so that consumes a lot of the work, are the local issues,
mm-hmm.
I'd say, more so than anything. And the other thing too is just even the distance. We were speaking about this. My member of parliament is from Prince Edward Island, so he has to fly in every week, whereas Noel was able to drive back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
So that sort of helps that as well, being really in touch with the constituents. So it was just that was the biggest observation that I made, was that it was very, very, very constituent based.
Right.
And
because it's a multi-seat constituency environment over there rather than the single-seat constituency here, mm-hmm. would you think that in itself meant that from a political perspective, the Member of Parliament here or there has a different role or has a different set of dynamics at play?
Definitely.
In how they deal with things?
Yeah.
How so?
Well,
you know, like given that, you know, when you get, because of the competitive nature, like I know in East Galway,
mm-hmm.
like there's, I think, three TDs, two Fianna Fáil, one Fine Gael.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an element of competition on an ongoing basis,
mm-hmm.
within even in the life of a parliament.
Okay, so basically the competition on an ongoing basis,
yeah.
versus when you're a member and you're elected, the competition is initially during the election.
Correct.
And then afterwards there's not that sort of check as well.
Right.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. I'd have to say, unfortunately, lately in our politics, there's been so many elections or potential elections coming up that I feel like that the same thing is happening. That Wayne, even though the competition isn't there with other members in his constituency, there's always that sort of looming that there could be an election.
Right,
so
right.
That's when I came into politics, during this sort of atmosphere. So prior to that, when we had a majority government, I don't know what the feel would have been, but it had the same feel, I suppose.
Now, and let's bring it to a parliamentary level. Excuse me. The political system in Ireland is against the political system here, and how the political parties operate, and how the Dáil operates as distinct how Parliament Hill operates. Did you notice any difference, any observations?
Between parties? I would just say that Irish politics seems to be far less adversarial than here. And what I mean by that is there's a famous story of Pierre Elliott Trudeau teaching his son Justin a lesson on politics, and basically that you can disagree with someone's view on things, but you never attack the person. And I found that to be the case in Ireland, much more so than here. And I feel like we've really moved away from. I remember asking Noel one time. He said that people can disagree. They definitely disagree a lot on so many issues in Ireland. But that if there's something really important, he still had the sense that people could come together.
Mm-hmm.
And sadly, I feel like we're really moving away from that here. And definitely, we can see within the last election how the personal attack ads came out on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of really losing sight of the issues and how important they are, and just name calling and attacking the individual, and I really don't like that about here. And so it was really nice to see that there.
And the the parliamentary system, when it came to getting into the Dáil itself, and you said you were able to sit in on the budget and question time.
Mm.
Any comments on any of that?
Question period in Ireland seemed to be so much more productive than here. More time for questions, more time for answers, more preparation for answers for questions. Whereas I know I've been in Wayne's office here, questions happening in the morning, and basically I'd like to say statements and basically very quick responses, and you just. Let's say there's a very serious issue. When you ask a question in the House, you don't get an answer, and you get, let's say, a personal attack back or a statement back from the government. You haven't moved any farther forward. Whereas I felt in Ireland that there was more of the time sort of allocated to actually getting some answers back.
So that in a way the government accepted that the role of Parliament was where their job was to answer the questions that were raised and provide information.
Provide information, exactly.
Right,
definitely.
Right.
Very different.
Right. So now that you've experienced that and you're back up on Parliament Hill, is there a crusade underway to educate?
Yes, definitely. So it will be some interesting changes within our office. But I actually got Wayne to join the Canada-Ireland Interparliamentary Group, and it was really funny because we sent out some books on behalf of it was the canal books that came on Labour's on the Canal, and we sent them out through our office. And Wayne is not Irish at all. He has constituents that are Irish, but he ran into some other members that we had sent the books to, and he said, "Wayne," and they said, "Wayne, why am I getting Irish books from you?" It was funny because the least Irish person. But then I said, or he said, "Oh, it's the Irish girl in my office." So
right.
I'm representing Ireland in our office as well too.
Excellent. Now, as a result of the whole experience, where do you see, or how do you see this having affected your life in the future as you move forward?
Very interesting. affected.
From every respect. And I'm talking as well, the Rose experience, mm-hmm. the Irish experience in the Dáil, mm-hmm. the experience of living in Ireland, because that's another aspect of it, is that you lived in an Irish home.
Mm-hmm,
for a period of time, and you got to experience being in Ireland, not just on holiday for 10 days, but actually living, working, experiencing the whole cultural aspect, and experiencing it at a time when the economy was really in a bad way. So mm-hmm. you were actually seeing Ireland in pain in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
So how would you say that has marked you?
Well, I think before I went over there, I kind of having been there the past two summers as well too. I was thinking this is somewhere that I think I could live, and I really think that idea was solidified for me after these experiences. I really really would like to live there. I know that I want to do something. I'm hoping to do something with tourism or something, because I know that there are just so many wonderful things about Ireland, in terms of the music, in terms of just arts in general, that needs to be I can promote here as well too, and just during these during the painful times over there, there's still this sort of underlying spirit. That people need to remember all these amazing things over there, and it's nice to see that from the outside. And so I'd really like to promote that as well.
Now, you did mention music, and I know we're going to listen to Muireann Na Gcailf, because Muireann has a special place in your heart too.
She does. When I put together the kids film project that I did last summer, I really wanted to use sort of local artists, so I used a local artist's artwork for the DVD cover, and I actually wrote to her and asked her would she mind if I used some of her music for the kids on the DVD, and graciously she said of course, this sounds like a great project. So,
and Muireann of course was here last year with Danu, because she is the female vocalist. And this is from their Christmas CD,
mm-hmm.
and we will be back with you in a few moments.
Meanwhile, me, I can't.
And that is Danu in the background as well. It's a good, lively step dance. Did you get out doing any kili dancing or anything when you were over there?
I actually didn't. I didn't when I was in there. No, I didn't.
No?
I should have.
Well, I want to thank you for coming in this morning at this unearthly hour and sharing your experiences. It's been fun having you in here. I hope you enjoyed it.
Thank you. And I'm going to try Gurumahagat.
That's good.
Yeah.
And Gurumahagat to everybody out there. And I want to wish everyone a happy Christmas. And you have been listening to the Gaelic Hour here on Chin 97.9 FM with Austin Camerton. We will be back tomorrow night with a music program, and we'll be bringing you some Christmas music. And Maureen, if you're listening, I do plan playing Frank Kelly and the 12 Days of Christmas. If I don't do it tomorrow night, we'll do it a week later, probably maybe a week later. But don't forget, do come back 10 p.m. tomorrow night here at Chin 97.9 FM. This is the Gaelic Hour, Austin Camerton. And I want to thank Tom on the other side of the glass for looking after me this morning. This program should be available as a podcast in about 15 or 20 minutes. So until then, Sarah, thanks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.